This session is on lesson planning. No, do I need to talk louder? Usually I'm pretty loud. I should have like grabbed a cup of water because I'm like, duh. Huh? No, I'll be fine. I'll survive. Okay, so this topic is way more exciting for me. Well, kind of all the topics are exciting for me, but about 2 years ago, I started to write my own curriculum, and Brother Booker said, it might be a little intimidating if you say curriculum writing. I don't think they're all looking to write curriculum, and I'm like, yeah, you might be right. So I had gone to visit Truth Tabernacle in Fresno, and I had talked to their Sunday school director about how they do their Sunday school. And she showed me around, and she told me, I said, you know, how do you do your lessons? What curriculum do you use? Where do you get your stuff? And she said, we write it all ourselves. And I was like, you do? And I'm like, why is that? She told me that when they were buying their curriculum, they found that they had to revamp everything so much. It took out the opportunity for their teachers to really put in the time. She said some of her teachers were just kind of reading the lesson, coming in and just going straight from their lesson plan, you know, not changing anything, not making it their own, not trying to make it applicable to their kids. And she said, I didn't want anything to do with that, so I took away that option. And I was like, that's so smart. So from there, I decided, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I want the curriculum. I want the kids' church thing. I was in nursing school at this point, so call me really crazy. I started writing my own curriculum while I was in nursing school. Probably the craziest part of my life at that point. So there's some things that I've learned are good and some things that I've learned are bad. And I've seen a lot of positives from it. So I'll share with you. I actually have like really great notes for this one. Everything else I really didn't. So to start, prayer. When God gives you a lesson idea, make note of it immediately, okay? These are little treasures that you do not want to lose. So a lot of times, I'll be listening to preacher and the pastor will make, he'll make a comment. Maybe it's just a little phrase and it just hits me like a lightning bolt and I'm like, I have a lesson. So sometimes it's just a little idea. Earlier somebody mentioned doing outreach with kites and it was like, I had the whole light bulb and I almost just like stopped talking and started writing because I got so excited. So when you get those little tidbits, when you're reading your Bible and a scripture just stands out, it's not always standing out. Sometimes it's standing out because it needs to minister to you. And sometimes it's standing out because you need to minister to that to your kids. So a lot of times when I'm reading my Bible, I'll use the little Bible app and I'll make notes and I'll read the scripture. If it stands out to me, maybe I'll grab my concordance. Sometimes I'll just go through and I'll start reading it in all the other versions. Because when you read in all the other versions, you kind of get that different verbiage and the different vantage point. And I'll start making notes on all the different versions and going on from there. And sometimes I'll tie in, it'll make me think of a game. Sometimes it'll make me think of a craft or it'll make me think of an activity. You know, make note of all those things. And if you're not the kind of person that has a crazy brain like me, because I know my brain is twisted, I do not think like normal people. Maybe just take it, and that stood out to you, so that's important. And take it and meet up with another teacher. Get with somebody else. Don't just do your lessons by yourself, because getting another, you know, two minds are better than one. So getting that other person to bounce your ideas off of and say, hey, you know what? This scripture just stood out to me so much, and I really feel like God wants to use it for the kids, and I'm not sure how. I just feel like it's for the kids. Take it to another teacher, and they might be the one to be like, oh, you know what that makes me think of? And then you start on this pattern where you start bouncing your ideas off of each other and something starts forming. Personally, I meet with my Sunday school staff, and when I meet with them, I tell them, I'm like, here's my idea. Give me what you got. And so they'll start saying, oh, what about, hey, I've got, and then I'll have a light bulb come on and somebody else will have their little light bulb. And we end up with this great idea. When I first started doing this with the staff, the first curriculum that we were writing was, we called it Anchored in Truth, and it was water. And I wanted to basically go into like the search for truth Bible study with the kids. So we picked out which lessons we wanted to do, and we started with Adam and Eve. And I said, what do you guys think? And they said, well, we got to have them act it out. And I'm like, well, how are we going to have them act it out? It turned into, when all was said and done, we had a bowl of candy. The kids were going to be told they could have all the candy they wanted for the day. They could have any candy, all the candy. They were going to just engorge themselves in candy. But hey, you can't have this one candy. Now, we were going to use that candy that stains your mouth, and we were going to use blue candy. But I'm terrible at like finding things in advance, and I forgot to go get the candy when it came time for the lesson. So I ended up saying no bubble gum. But we ended up having this, and I start the class and I tell them about the candy. I walk out, and I had somebody that was the devil's advocate. And he was like, hey, let's start eating the candy since we can have candy. And he starts throwing the gum at the kids. And the kids are like, oh, no, 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 no. Sister Jillian said no candy. She said no gum. He's like, but she said you could have all the candy you want. But she said no gum. And he said, but she said all the candy. Take the candy. And so they have like a gum war. And they start throwing the gum back at him. And he's throwing the gum at them. And he convinces the kids that they're going to get away with eating gum. And we take it from there. I come back in. They're caught red-handed. And I have them do a trial, a court trial in the classroom. And I tell them they're guilty. Every single one of them is guilty, and they're going to be punished. And they had to try to defend themselves, and they're pointing fingers. And I mean, I had kids crying. And they were just so into it. And they were just like, but he made us do it. He tricked us. And I never would have had this lesson by myself. But I had taken it, and I said, let's start doing ideas. And they had the candy idea, and then somebody else had the court idea. And when it came into play, it was crazy. But the lesson was so effective. And we actually taught them Genesis 3:15, which, how many of you have tried teaching the concept of Genesis 3:15, the shadow and type? It's a little difficult to teach, right? Yeah, a little bit difficult. But let me tell you, they got it. Every single one of them. It was incredible. So, like I said, when you have that little idea, you want to write it down, but also you want to bounce it off of somebody else. Share your ideas. Get with a teacher from another church. I mean, you have a perfect opportunity here to meet somebody from another church that maybe teaches the same age group or does something similar. Maybe they do something totally different. Maybe they're teaching children's church and you're doing a Sunday school class, but you can bounce ideas off of each other and make something great. Before I get too off track, let me go back. Okay, so when I started this, something I found was I needed to base my lessons off of something. If I was going to do a whole series, for me, it worked out better to do a series because if I'm doing just week by week Sunday school lessons or topics, it kind of gets a little off track. That's how my brain works, like I said. So different things that I found to base my lessons off of. That series was on water. So I had an ocean, I had a boat, you know, the theme was water. I did another series on a circus theme. Now the circus theme was really awesome because, I can't even remember how I worded it at this point. But just talking about those weird things you go through, but God has a purpose in it. The freak show. That's what I called it. Freak show. And we went into talking about the strong man. We talked about the trapeze acts. And we just tied in little circus acts and to bring in concepts that were biblical. One of them was, you know, the tightrope, you walk the high rope. We used that to teach about Achan, and he was seeking after worldly things, and he had it in his heart, and he was going to try to hide it, but it came out in the open. I have a little pig fetish. I love pigs. So we said that Achan was Achan for bacon. And I had my Achan guy, and he was trying to walk the tightrope, but he was Achan for bacon. So we kept throwing more pigs on him, because I have tons of pigs in my house. It's ridiculous. So I start throwing pigs on him, and we're like, so he's trying to get away, and he's trying to hold on to all this sin and all this carnality, but eventually it's going to catch up. And so he's trying to walk the tightrope, and we're continually throwing more pigs on him. And finally everything fell out, and we, you know, went home with it, and we said, you know, it's going to come out in the light. You can't hide sin. It's going to come out. So sometimes you can just be really crazy, and it works. You know, with the water thing, I also did the shadows and types. I said, you know what? I want to teach shadows and types. I want my kids to understand this concept because it drives it home. And also, you know, your kids that are coming out of false doctrine, it really, really brings truth out. Personally, I came out of false doctrine, and thank God I came in under the leadership of Nathaniel Urshan, because his big thing was shadows and types. And it is what made the truth relevant for me. So seeing that Moses was not just an Old Testament thing, and Noah's not just Old Testament, but it's a shadow and type of that New Testament water baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it was important. So even if you don't do your series on that, I think it's really important to throw those in there and let your kids see this is not just a little story. This really happened, but there's a real application. Another topic we've touched on personally, generational decay. I just did this a few weeks ago where I told them, I'm like, you know, you have Abraham, Isaac, and who was supposed to be there? You know, and you think of these David, Solomon, and you always forget who the third person is, that third generation where it wipes out. And I told the kids, I'm like, hey, you know, you don't want to be a third generation Pentecostal. I'm like, you want to be a first generation. You want to be Abraham in your family. You want to be David in your family. I don't care who your dad is and who your granddad and your great granddad. We want to make sure that we're first generation. And I told them, you guys are affecting the future. So I made a whole lesson on that. I can't remember what the lesson was right now. I really can't. I did a whole month on spiritual warfare. I just felt that the church was going through some spiritual warfare as a whole. And I took a month and we just focused on spiritual warfare. And so with that, obviously, we did some battle scenes and things like that. You can also go off of just topics and go through a topic and make a series out of that. Make a month or so that you do a specific topic. So you have the judges, the prophets. You can do a series on prophecies. Jesus miracles, Jesus parables. Something we're about to go into is, I had this thought of teaching, this has been on my mind for a long time, but Hebrews chapter 11. And I was like, man, that would be a great Sunday school series to go through Hebrews 11 and teach all those lessons and just focus on faith. So starting November 6th, we're going into Hebrews 11. And with that, actually December. November, we're going to talk about separation from the world. But with the Hebrews 11, each week they're going to memorize a verse. And we've timed it out so they'll end in Easter. And by Easter, Lord willing, the kids are gung-ho about this. They're going to memorize all of Hebrews chapter 11. And then present it up, stand up in front of the church, and take it home, you know? Another chapter I've thought of for that is like Acts chapter 7. You know, Stephen is preaching and he takes you through all these Old Testament things and he leads you to, hey, Jesus fulfills this. Now, obviously with all of that, some of those are so many topics, right? And it's like, how am I going to go through every single judge or every single prophecy? It really wouldn't make sense to do that. With my shadows and types, I couldn't even do that. But you have to organize. So when you're organizing, some things you want to focus on are, number one, how many lessons do you want to have? How many lessons are you planning for? Are you planning for just a month? Are you wanting a topic to cover the month? Are you wanting to go 3, 6 months? Are you wanting something? Most people don't go for planning a whole year, but maybe you do. So how many lessons are going to go in this topic that you're about to cover? Now this one is, whenever you write a paper and the teacher asks you, what is the objective of your paper? If you go to college or whatever, you have to deal with that whole thing. What is your objective? So when you're teaching these lessons, is there a specific objective that you want them to take home? The anchored in truth, when I was doing the shadows and types, my objective is that the kids would understand shadows and types. With the circus theme, my objective was that the kids would understand that it is not weird to be a Christian. It is unique, and you are separate, and you are holy, and that is amazing. So that was my objective. So you kind of want to stop and think, what is my objective? What is my goal with this? Now, maybe there's objectives, and maybe there's a prevailing objective. Maybe there's like a take-home that you want to cover over everything, but each lesson should have its own objective as well. I totally wrote those notes backwards. Now, if you're setting your objective, your next question is, how will you connect that objective throughout the series? How is that objective going to tie in? How are you going to make it stick in their heads that, you know what, you can stand for truth? Or if it's separation, how are you going to make separation stand out in their mind? When they come to the end of the series, 10 years from now, what is it that you're going to do in those lessons that they're going to remember that objective? That's going to be something they're going to look back on, and it's going to stick out in their mind, and they're going to remember, I need to be separate from the world. That's why things are going wrong right now. I'm not separate, you know? Now also, when you're doing these series, and something that kind of affected me in choosing to start writing my own lessons and my own curriculum and doing that is I felt like the curriculum I was finding wasn't relevant to where my kids were coming from. It was like, you know, these kids are coming from the hood, and it's a little candy shop with all these nice fluffy things. And the kids just weren't connecting to the fluffiness and all that sugar. It was like, this doesn't apply to us. You don't know where we're coming from. So it wasn't speaking to them. And I was having to like alter the whole thing and tear apart all these lessons because it just didn't apply to my kids. So you have to think of, what is the demographic your kids are coming from? Do you have a wide demographic? I know some churches are very diverse. Some churches are not as diverse. Maybe you don't have to stretch it as far, but if you're reaching for that diversity, if you're reaching to get other cultures and other demographics into your church, then you want to spread yourself out and you want to be able to reach out. You want to, if you have a lot of, we have a lot of Haitians. So part of when I'm writing curriculum, I need to know and I need to consider, what is the Haitian culture? What is their mindset? You know, what are the Haitian kids seeing at home that maybe my little hood kids aren't seeing at home, you know? Same thing with my kids that are from, you know, the lower income, the hood, the ghetto, whatever. What are they seeing at home? What is normal to them, okay? Because you got to think, each culture, each child that's coming in, they have a set norm that they've seen at home. So maybe their normal is my parents are screaming at me all the time. Okay? Maybe that is normal to them. So when you come in and you're talking quiet and gentle, they're just like falling asleep because there's no excitement. There's no raising of the voice. You know, maybe it's a loud home, and maybe it's not that they're yelling and screaming, but it's just that like a Haitian home, Haitians are loud. If you ever get a chance to go out with a group of Haitians, bring your earplugs, and just know it's going to be funny. Okay. So they're very loud and they're very boisterous and they're very just like out there in the way they communicate things. And sometimes you think that they're fighting, because they'll get into their language and they're like, ah, and you're like, what are they fighting about? And they're laughing. They think they're highly amused, and that is how they communicate things. So knowing those backgrounds, knowing their culture is so important. Do your research. It's in Hope Corps, there was a book that we used, Kiss, Bow, or Shake Hands. And that was really eye-opening for me, okay? Because I went through and I looked there. It's so funny because they did not have Haitians in there. And I mean, my church is like swamped with Haitians, like half of the church is Haitian. And then we had like Jamaicans, and there was very little on Jamaica. No, I don't think it even touched on Jamaica. The book like did not have my cultures in it. But I had to go do other research. I had to figure it out. But I looked through some of them, and it was very relevant because it said, you know, this culture, if you make eye contact, it's offensive. But this other culture, if you don't, you're a liar and you're a thief. And I mean, you better watch out for that person, right? So it's really important to know, like, how are you communicating with these kids? Because something could come across as offensive, because at home, that's not normal. So you want to be careful with that. It's not just adults you have to watch out for those cultural norms. It's the kids, too. How am I on time? I don't know what time this is supposed to go till. Huh? 1:55? Okay, I'm totally good. Now, the next thing is, what should be included in every lesson, okay? Is there something that you want every lesson to have? So do you want every lesson to start with prayer? Do you want there to be worship songs? Do you want every lesson to have a craft? Should there be a skit? A lesson, offering. Do you want to have two different ways of teaching your lesson incorporated? I was talking to Mary after another session, and I was pointing out, how many of you teach toddlers? Is she our only toddler teacher? You teach toddlers? Okay. With toddlers, their attention span is like 3 minutes. That's all you have. And then they're on to something else. So you need to be changing your topic with them. And what I pointed out to her is that you should figure out a way of teaching your lesson 5 different ways and incorporate it in that one lesson. So maybe you're going to tell the story and you're going to use a picture, and then you're going to tell the story again and you're going to use a puppet, and then you're going to play a game that teaches the story, and then you're going to do a snack that has to do with the story again. Because with them, they need to hear it over and over again, but they need to hear it differently. And sometimes with the older kids, even that's important because they all have their different learning style. So how many of you have ever looked into learning styles? No? Okay, a couple of you. So some kids, it's, I can just talk to you and you're going to get it and it's going to make sense and it's perfect. Others, you have to have an object lesson. There's got to be a connector. They're not going to get it. Some of them, they have to touch it. They have to feel it. There has to be that tactile. They have to be involved in it. And some of them, they have to read it. Those are the kids, if it's reading, you want them to be the ones reading your scripture. You want them to be the ones standing up and reading it, because that's the only way it's going to make sense to them. So you want to consider that when you're writing your lesson. Am I hitting all of these different touch points? Am I hitting all these different learning styles? Because if you're not, some of those kids are getting left out. Some of those kids are getting nothing out of your lesson. Especially with the toddlers, it's so important to teach it a bunch of different ways. Toddler teachers, what I've seen over the past several years is that they are like the most susceptible to burnout because it's so difficult. You know, you guys have to have so much energy and you have to be on your toes and switching it up and moving and being flexible because that's the only way you're going to reach them. I know some people think that the toddler class is the babysitting room. And I took child and development courses, and children, humans, adults, we have learned the majority of what we're going to learn before we're age 3. Think of what you learn before you ever get to age 3, okay? And how important it is to teach them just as hard as we're focusing on our 10 and 12 year olds, you know? They're learning to open their eyes. They're learning to talk. They're learning to eat. They're learning to walk. They're, you know, learning to grab things and use fine motor skills. So it is a very, very important age group. And so if you have a burden for that age group, just know you're doing a great work. That's formative. You know, it is not just the playtime. You are forming these kids, and you're putting things that you teach them at 3 years old and their parents leave. You know what? I honestly believe those kids will remember those values when they're 10 and 12 years old and they have a chance to come back. So consider what you want included in this lesson. Do you want your lesson, do you want your Sunday school to go down the same schedule every week? That's something else to consider. Personally, I'm so anti-schedule that it's frustrating to other people. My reason for that is kids get used to a schedule, and they expect what's coming. And so if maybe they're a little tired, maybe they had a long night, and they come in and they're expecting what's coming, they're going to fall asleep. But if you switch it up and they don't know what to expect when they come in, you have their attention on a whole nother level. So sometimes switching it up can just be switching up your seating arrangement. I am so huge on seating arrangements. I have arranged my chairs. If you look on my Instagram, there was one Sunday we did a snail. And I did the snail and I told the kids, when you come in, the kids that I know are so well behaved, you guys are sitting on the middle of the snail. You get to walk all the way to the middle. Now, as you walk in, just know that as soon as you start talking while the teacher's talking, or you start poking and messing with your neighbor, you're going to the outside of the shell. You don't get to be in the middle anymore. And that was totally how I did my lesson that day. And it was incredible. The kids were so attentive because they wanted to be in the middle of the snail. I mean, like, it was great. It was so fun. But then also, you know, maybe you sit them in a circle. Maybe you have all the chairs out on the wall and it's a square. Maybe they're sitting diagonal. I mean, just switching it up. It doesn't even have to be like extreme. But they come in and they expect something different because the chairs are arranged differently. And they're like on their toes and they're just waiting. You know, and they're on edge because something's different. So they're eating up what you're saying because they know something's different today. So when you're doing your schedule, maybe you got to start off with worship. Sometimes the kids come in and you start off with a crazy game and they're throwing a ball across the room, or maybe you take them outside. I've had my kids start off, I think like all of you were over here when I did that last session, but I did Noah's Ark. We put a big paper thing on the front of the building, made it look like a big boat, and I had kids outside picketing, saying that rain was coming, a flood was coming, get in the boat. So we were busing the kids to our building. At that time, we were at a separate facility. So I had these kids out front, and they're picketing and screaming and yelling, and the church front looks like a big boat, and people are driving by, honking their horns, and the bus comes with the rest of the Sunday school kids, and the kids are hanging out the window, and they're like, what is she doing now? So they were excited, and I had them picketing, and then I had them do a whole debate out front of whether they should get in the boat or not get in the boat, and is Noah crazy? Well, we all know Sister Jillian's crazy, but what about Noah? And just switching it up. And so sometimes starting with the game or sometimes with the activity or the craft, I just like it so that they don't know what to expect. I really do think it impacts the kids. But if that's not how your brain thinks, if you've got to have a structure, then when you're planning your lesson, you want to write your structure in. And even if you want to switch it up, planning it ahead is really important. Because if you don't plan it ahead, it's really not going to totally flow. And then also, what is your teaching style? So are you doing children's church, Sunday school classes? Are you doing a combination of the two? Are you an upfront teacher? Are you great in front of a crowd? Or are you like, I can handle two or three kids and let us go off to the side? Okay, so some people, it's just a few kids. So you've got to know your teaching style, and you've got to know the other people working with you. What's their teaching style? So use that to your advantage. Maybe you have at lunch, some of us were talking about special needs kids. And if you've got some special needs kids, you're going to need, especially the autistic ones, like get them set aside with one person. Have that one-on-one person, and that one-on-one person is going to be the one to refocus that child. And they're going to be the ones to really teach that kid, because that child is not focused on you up front. On an occasion, they are. But most of the time, they're just everywhere else. And they absorb everything all at the same time. So it's like overload for them. So having that one-on-one is really helpful. Do I have any questions now? Before I keep going, because I have a couple other things I'm going into, but no? None yet? Okay. All right, so.
You know, I'm sorry, you said your teaching style.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
but what if I'm being asked to teach a different style?
Mm-hmm.
Should I go ahead, you know, how do I handle that?
If you have your own teaching style and you know what you're comfortable with,
right.
Obviously you're going to be most confident in that.
Right.
But I would say to challenge yourself and push yourself to go outside of what your norm is, because that's going to challenge yourself to grow as a teacher.
Okay.
So, and obviously your focus should always be to grow as a teacher, because that's what's going to grow your ministry.
Okay.
Any other ones? No? Okay. Man, I kind of think I did this already. Making it exciting. So, like I said, you know, plan something totally unexpected. Sometimes I'll have it, I try not to do this too frequently because then they really know what's happening if I do it, but I'll plan a lesson here and there where I leave. Like, I totally leave Sunday school and the kids are just like, they're so used to having me up front. This is about to change. But they're so used to having me up front and I'm there and they just know that I'm there, that if I take myself out of the building completely, they're just like, we don't know you as well as we know her. And so they look at the other teacher and it's just like this almost suspicion, but then they hear them out better. So sometimes I use that to my advantage. Like the Adam and Eve, obviously, at that point, I was leaving it so somebody else could trick them. I've had it also where I left the building and I just had it so somebody else was doing like a testimony or something, just so that it was something different. The kids didn't know. They actually, when I did it that time, they totally thought like I was going to pop in at any moment and terrify them. I've had classes where we did the 10 plagues. And how many of you have taught the 10 plagues? Yeah, okay. Have you guys ever subjected your kids to go through this 10 plagues? No? Oh, man, you got to do it. It's so fun.
Go get the real things?
Well, I really wanted. I'm maybe a little cruel. I really wanted to, actually. There's, like, locusts outside of the hospital, and I wanted. But I'm terrified of the bugs myself, and I can't handle the creepy crawlies. I was really tempted to get at least the frogs, though. I did it, and I had my kids, and I said, you guys are Egypt, and you guys are Israel. And so I telling the story, and I had kids in the back, and they had all the supplies, and we went through the 10 plagues. So I think I used, like, pepper was the fleas, and I had, like, star glitter was the flies. I had the little bouncy frogs, you know, the little plastic ones where you can do that, and I had them throw the frogs all over them. And so we went through it, and I did, like, I subjected the kids to the plagues as best as I could. It really wasn't too complicated to do, but the kids were just like, what's getting thrown at us next? But it got the point, you know, it took the point home. And what was neat about doing it that way is being able to drive home the point that at first they all went through it. You know what? The Israelites were getting the plagues just the same as the Egyptians. But at some point, God put a differentiation. And he said, if you're obedient, if you do what Moses instructs you, you're not going to get this happen to you. Just like he warned them about the hail. So the Egyptians that went and put their animals away didn't get all the hail. They didn't get killed that way. So putting them in the lesson, I think it's a little difficult. You can't do it with every lesson. You know, Adam and Eve, I put them in the lesson. They were in the judgment seat. Noah's Ark, I put them in the lesson. They were there debating with Moses and hearing the preacher and seeing the conflict. But if there's an opportunity where you can put the kids in that role, they're not going to forget it. So consider how you might be able to do that. That's another thing where bouncing it off of somebody else is going to help you. I would get into talking about games, but that would go into my next session. So I'm not going to. That's all my notes. So does anybody have any questions, commentary? No? Maybe I did better this time? yes.
So when you write a lesson,
yes,
you focus on a scripture and then whatever God puts in your heart, you write it out. Is it 15 minutes, 20 minutes long? Like, how do you go about actually writing out the lesson and then presenting it to the children?
Okay, so first what I'll do is I'll make little notes. I have the memos section on my phone, and I've got like a gazillion memos where it's just like I'll have an idea and I'll just write the idea down and I'll go back and I'll look at it. If I'm planning a series, usually I'll have a memo and I'll have the topics that I want covered. And if I have an idea related to one of them, I'll kind of make a note and do that for a few weeks before I start planning. I'm not good with time frames at all. I tell me 10 minutes here, 5 minutes. It doesn't happen ever with me. Other people work really well and they are actually able to adhere to time frames. It's probably advisable to do it that way. I usually do like a table though. So I'll say that I'm going to start with, and I'll put a little title that I'm starting with prayer, and I'll say what my goal is with prayer. What am I specifically touching on? And if there's a way that I'm going to demonstrate prayer. Example, at one lesson I was going to do offering, but we wanted to talk about how you can't outgive God. So for offering started with a skit, and we had somebody hiding behind a table, and somebody else came along and was like, oh, I'm so happy, I'm going to give offering. And he put his offering in the bucket, and the person in the back was like, oh, what a cheerful giver. Oh, I'm just so excited. I'm going to give it back to him. Throws the money back over the table. And there was like this onslaught of throwing quarters back and forth for like a good 5 minutes. And then we went into offering. So if there's a specific way of teaching it, I write it out. But I literally, like all my lessons, it's a column and I just go through like that. So for me, that works. Other people are much more organized. I'm not. I'm a scatterbrain.
And are you the one teaching all of your lessons, or will you write out a lesson and give it to another teacher?
Unfortunately, my downfall is that I have been the one teaching. That is actually about to change. I'm stepping completely out of the classroom. I'll probably be in there for children's church, but not in the classrooms. So starting November, when we just got a new building. So in the new building, we have all these classrooms, and it's amazing. But because there's so many classrooms, and I have not been able to like be in all the different age groups, and I know that it's really necessary for me to be able to train them, that I need to be in there and observe and give feedback. So I'm stepping out, and they're writing their own lessons, and they're implementing their lessons. And how I'm doing it is I'm actually going to have binders. And before Sunday school, we'll meet, we'll have prayer, we'll have a little devotional, and then we'll do like a check-in and say, okay, here's our lessons for today. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, asking them. They'll do Sunday school. And at the end, I'm having them come back to their binders. And under that lesson, they're going to write what went well, what did not go well, and any adjustments they think need to happen to that lesson for in the future if they do it again. And then they're going to look and review their next week's lesson. Brother Booker had posted on Apostolic Sunday School a few weeks ago about lesson planning. And that's part of where I got that I've thought about doing that in the past, but he really drove it home enough for me where I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So they have to sign off every week. And once you review your lesson the week before, then it's constantly on your mind throughout the week. Throughout the week, you're going to be thinking about it. It's going to show up everywhere you go, this topic, and you're going to see different ways of doing it. And you're probably going to make adjustments before the next Sunday comes when you actually do the lesson. So keeping a notebook handy, or like I do with my little memos.
Do you have to pre-approve their lessons, or do you just give them free
rein? I'm giving them free rein, but if I see something, I probably will adjust or make suggestions. I'm a little bit of a control freak, which is why I've been teaching on my own. Yeah, so I probably will give them suggestions. I'll let them have free rein, but I'll give suggestions. Yeah, because I've got to train them at the very minimum. I've got to give them some kind of feedback.